This is the Laravel News Podcast, your one-stop podcast to find out about Laravel-related news, tutorials, packages, and more. Here are your hosts, Jake Bennett and Michael Durenda.
Hello, folks, and welcome to episode 213 of the Laravel News Podcast. It is April 23rd. 2024, and we've got a great episode ahead of us. Want to thank Sentry for, again, sponsoring the podcast. They'll be sponsoring the entire rest of the year. Sentry is Laravel, or it's not Laravel specific, but it is error tracking for your applications, and they have an amazing plugin for Laravel. So thank you so much for Sentry sponsoring. You can check them out at sentry.io. Michael, how's it going, my friend?
Hello, going well. Keeping very busy at the moment, but things are moving along.
Good deal. Yeah, today I am at PHP Tech in Chicago. So nice. I gave a talk today that was super fun. And TJ Miller, friend of the Laravel community who had a Laravel Worldwide Meetup talk a couple weeks ago, has a talk tomorrow. And then JMac, Jason McCreary, the guy who created Laravel Shift, is up tomorrow as well. He flew in. One of the speakers actually wasn't able to make it, so he was in audible. They called him and were like, hey, can you do a talk? And so he flew up, and he's doing two of them. So
yeah,
crazy stuff. So it's
yeah,
cool.
I saw he tweeted that he got the last minute call up, so good on him.
And yes,
fortunate that it's not that much of a trip for him to just duck out there and have a talk ready to go. So
yeah, he's a professional. Who else do you know that can do that? Just pull two talks out. That's pretty awesome. So
yeah.
So that's been fun, but we've got some good stuff to talk about today, starting with releases. Should we jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. Laravel 11.3 was released. So Laravel prompts have been a thing that we've been talking about a little bit recently. So Jess Archer talked about this at the LaraCon in 2023 in Nashville. She created this Laravel prompts, which allows you to basically have inputs inside of console. And so Joe Tannenbaum contributed a text area function to Laravel prompts that allows accepting of multi-line text from a user. Includes also, which is really cool, an optional validation argument, as well as a required argument to make sure that the text area is filled out. So when you're creating this text area, you can, as one of the named arguments there, you just pass in validate, and it accepts a closure and then allows you to specify what should be true if this is to be valid. So you could say, like, the string length should be less than 250, or sorry, greater than 250, less than 1,000. And if it's not, then you could throw an error. There is documentation for all this and usage details in pull request number 88 in the prompts repository for the implementation. Mahmoud Muhammad Ramadan contributed a has any method to sessions, which is a nice improvement when checking to see if any values are in the session. So before, you would have had to sort of pipe a couple checks together. If session has first name or session has last name. And now you can just say if session has any, and then accepts an array as an argument there to say if first name or last name is in the session, and that will return a truthy value for you there. We also have a new context pull method, which is contributed by Reneguzi. I don't know. That's a tough one, folks. It's a tough one.
Yeah, Rene. Rene, I think their name is.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Renee contributed a pull and a pull hidden method to the context service. And what this will do is I think you have this on the session as well. It will pull that context value and immediately remove it from the context. So instead of just getting that value, it pulls it, removes it from the context so that you can use it. And with context, you also have this idea of setting hidden values, and there's separate methods to grab those values. So in addition to having pull, you also have pull hidden, which will grab a value out of the hidden context and remove it after returning the value as well. An example use case for this feature might be like capturing the context for database logging and pulling it out because the additional logging the additional context is no longer needed at that point. You can find all of the changes between level 11.2 and 11.3 on GitHub, of course. Thank you so much to Paul Redmond, everyone's favorite human, for writing this one up.
Nice. Laravel 11.4 was also released, and first up in this release was a new feature contributed by Nuna Madura, which is a new exceptions facade. The exceptions facade provides a consistent way to test exceptions in your Laravel applications. It provides an assert reported, a reported count, assert not reported, assert nothing reported, throw on report, and throw first reported methods. So this allows you to, where you had previously done something without exception handling and explicitly caught exceptions, or if you're using pest, you can say arrow throws on the end of your it closure, and it allows you to kind of make explicit assertions. And I think I saw someone had tweeted about this in response, you know, why would you want to test exceptions? Why wouldn't you just test the byproduct? Sometimes the exceptions are thrown in nested places and they kind of bubble up to a HTTP exception. So you want to make sure that the correct exception was thrown. So definitely check that one out if you're wanting to make assertions against that. Deva J. Mireles is their GitHub handle, contributed the ability to use Boolean-style directives without any defined value. So these are Livewire-style directives. So previously where you would have done something like x hyphen fetch and then y colon poll, you can which would generate a div with a y colon poll, you can now do x fetch y colon poll. What are we doing here? What is different here? I'm not seeing anything different. Are you seeing anything different?
I'm looking. Sorry, I was actually looking at all the new exception facade stuff that you were talking about just a second ago, because I was trying to load up the Laravel news page, and I messaged you like, "Is this down?" I'm not sure if it's just a really crappy internet at the hotel, but
might be the Wi-Fi there. Yeah,
I think so.
So I think previously this would have generated a wire colon poll equals y colon poll, whereas now it would just generate a bare y colon poll attribute floating around on that div. So check that one out. It's just to tidy up the output HTML, I suppose. Next up, Luke Downing contributed the ability to have reversible form prompts. So these are a group set of prompts for the user to complete, and forms include the ability to return the previous prompts and make changes without having to cancel. So previously, if you made a typo and you hit enter and it went to the next input in your Laravel prompt, you'd have to hit Control C, bail out of the whole process, start again. Using this new functionality, you can basically tab forwards and backwards in your inputs. So if you make any mistakes, you can go back and re-enter them nice and easily.
Nice.
So great command line interface, quality of life improvement there. Luke Downing also contributed support for enums on the collection map into method, which allows you to build up enums from an array of values. So map into previously would have to take the value from your collection and pass it into the constructor of a class. And so it would have to go directly into there. But you couldn't do anything with enums. You would have to do this all manually. So this new map into feature, you can now pass it a class string reference to an enum, and it will automatically handle doing this mapping for you. So
wow, that's really that nice. That's super nice.
But yeah, just again, these nice little quality of life improvements we love to see. Gunther de Brouwer contributed an after query hook to run code after running a query. So this is something that you can chain onto your query builder methods. So you say query arrow after query and pass it a closure that accepts a collection of models and allows you to then carry out some functionality. So if you want more details on what you can potentially do with that, you can check out the description of the pull request. We will have a link to that in the show notes for you. And that is all for Laravel 11.4.
Very nice. And so on that exceptions part there, is this really just this is just for in testing, right? Nothing's actually going to change as far as how you are actually throwing exceptions. It's just that testing for exceptions inside of PHP Unit or Pest or whatever can be sort of a pain in the neck. I think you have to say before you run the thing, this assert exception thrown or something like that, or assert exception message. And so this just brings you the same feeling as working with those facades by just using exceptions fake and then being able to make assertions after the fact, which feels good. I think it feels a little bit better.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Makes it easier. Streamlines it with some of the other functionality as well.
Agreed. Okay. Let's talk about the news here. Property hooks are getting closer to becoming a reality in PHP 8.4. So you're going to have to bear with me on this one. Unless, Michael, you know a lot more about this than I do, which is very possible. I've not been keeping up on this one. So I'm going to read through this. We're going to work through it together. Property hooks is an RFC that passed a significant milestone. It got an overwhelmingly positive 34 yeses and only one no vote. So that's well above the two-thirds required majority that is required to pass. So what are property hooks? So here's the proposal summary from the RFC. It says this: developers are often using methods to wrap and guard access to properties. There's several highly common patterns for such logic, which in practice are really verbose to repeatedly implement over and over and over. So Alternatively, they may override the magic get and the magic set to intercept all reads and writes generically. They said that this is sort of like a sledgehammer approach that intercepts all of these undefined and some defined properties unconditionally, and then you have to kind of work in the logic for those yourself. So property hooks provide a more targeted, purpose-built tool for common property interactions. So let's break that down for a minute. What are we talking about here? We're talking about if you have a class where you have properties defined on it, but you want to handle the retrieving of those properties in some specific way, there's a couple ways to do that, but not any that are necessarily recommended or ones that are not really verbose to implement in every single one of your classes. So this RFC introduces two hooks, quote unquote hooks, to override that default get and set behavior of a property. Although they're not included in this initial version, the design includes the ability to support more hooks in the future. So they're inspired by languages like Kotlin and C# and Swift, and the syntax includes two syntax variants that resemble short and multi-line closures. So this is a little bit code heavy, so we're going to do our best here, right? The way that it works then is if you have in your, let's say you have a user class and it's going to now implement named, and I'm thinking named here is part of this. What do you think?
No. I think it's just there for clarity's sake.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
The interface doesn't exist. It's just saying that there has to be some property there.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay, so as a constructor of this user, we are accepting a first and a last name, and those are both being set as private values, private properties on that. So now you have a public string, and it's passing back, or sorry, it's here. Let me read it for you. Public string $ full name. So it's not a public function. It's a public string $ full name. And then inside of that, you have some brackets, and then you have a get, what looks like a short closure, right? How you'd have like FN, you know, parens, fat arrow over. No, you don't have that. You just have get, fat arrow, and then you define how you would want to get this new full name property, which again does not exist. It's not a function. It's like a computed property is kind of what it feels like. Mm-hmm. So you have get, and in this case as fat arrow, this first dot space dot this last, right? So you're concatenating those two, the first and the last name, with a space in between. And then on the set, which is next after that, this overrides the write action with any logic that you want. So similarly, set, and then in this case, they're not doing the short closure. They're actually doing a multi-line closure here. So just like you would have with the normal function, you just have a bracket and then another bracket to end it, and then you're going to return inside of that bracket whatever you want, except for in this case, you're not returning it. You're actually accepting the values. And then you're going to handle how you want to push that onto the object, which it's a little bit odd. But basically what we're doing here is if we were to set the full name value, it's going to explode it on the space. And then it's going to set the first and last name of this user class, the private values of it, to whatever you passed in. And then in this case, it's also going to set this is modified property as true. So it's, you know, I'm doing my very best to read it out here. It's probably going to be better if you go and look at it. But essentially what it feels like is you have this computed property that is now going to be supported as a first class sort of thing. And you can override the get and the set specifically for one particular property instead of having to intercept every single get and every single set and then say, if you're setting the full name, do it this way. So that's pretty good. I think that feels nice. The syntax doesn't require that both hooks always be defined together either. In fact, you can just call the set one, or you can just call the get. It doesn't always have to be both of them. So the details for all of this are spelled out in the RFC. The feature looks like it's going to drop.
It is a very thorough RFC.
Yep. And it's already in a draft pull request. If you want to see, if you want to see the discussion and progress of the feature, you can go check it out. So looks really cool. I like that.
If you want some more clarity around what it is, we'll obviously have links to this in the show notes. If you're watching this on YouTube, you will see what Jake is explaining, and it will be clearer for you. I think the easiest way to kind of put this into perspective for what it is in terms of a Laravel developer, think of Eloquent attributes. So where you define a protected function full name, which returns an attribute, and then you've got the get and set methods. This is the same kind of functionality, but it's provided as a first party, like a native PHP piece of functionality. And I think the biggest benefit for that then becomes part of type completion. I know that when you define those attributes as protected methods, most IDEs that I've used will actually hide that. They'll obfuscate that as part of the public API, and you've got to add your own property read or property annotations to the class to actually get completion on it. So by defining these things as actual, you know, properties on the class, you will get that type completion automatically. And as you said, you can provide get or set separately. You don't have to do them together. You don't have to do comprehensively. The syntax looks a little bit like the match syntax, where you've got, you know, the condition on the left, and then the fat arrow, and then the resolution on the right hand side.
Yeah.
But yeah, the simplest way I can think of saying, you know, what these are is think of Eloquent attributes, and then that's essentially what we have here as a native PHP implementation.
That's a good call. I think you're absolutely right. That's a great way to explain it. Feels a lot more familiar to talk about it that way, since we are on the Laravel News podcast, and so most of us know what that looks like on the Laravel Eloquent side of things.
Well, sure. All right. PHP Storm 2024.1 has been released with a new integrated terminal, local AI code completion, and more. This new version was released the week of April 10th and includes, we've spoken about this previously, I think, on the podcast, this new terminal that adds a whole bunch of extra functionality. It looks a bit like, it starts with W, I think, terminal. I've completely lost the name of it now, but it gives you some additional functionality. It looks really nice.
Is it Lara? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Combines bits and pieces of functionality. Check it out. It's quite useful. There's also, as I said, full line code completion with local AI. Sticky lines are pinned to the top in the editor. There's pest improvements, support for PHP Unit version 11, support for Symfony's asset mapper, improvements to the DD, Vardump, and Vardumper functionality. There's checking of vulnerable packages in your composer.json, front-end updates, options to scale down the entire IDE, not just like the text size, but the actual full IDE itself, which is handy. Static method completion for the class string type in editor code review, and local filtering in the data editor. If you want to learn more about PHP Storm, Jeffrey Way has a video on Laracast. We talked about this in the previous episode as well. It's an excellent way to set up your editor for a quick and productive workflow in PHP Storm. There's also PHP Storm for Laravel developers on Laracast, which goes into more detail about using PHP Storm for Laravel development. We have links to, of course, all of that in the show notes.
The sticky lines is kind of interesting. I think Eric Barnes had a little video he made about that, where he was kind of like scrolling down a class and he was like, you know, pinning like the name and stuff to the top.
Yeah.
And as it was kind of scrolling up, it was pretty cool. That was
really gives you some context around where you are, especially if you've got like a longer class or a longer function and you're scrolling down. It gives you that context of, yeah, I'm in this class and I'm in this method in that class, and it'll scroll out once you go past the closing brace and things like that. So that kind of folding context stuff has been around for a while, so it's nice to see it in PHP Storm now as well.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm interested to see this in editor code review as well. So I'm wondering if that means like if there's a pull request and like in editor code review, like can I add comments and stuff directly inside there? Maybe. I'm not sure. It sounds interesting. So I'll definitely be downloading this one after the show is over. All right, we've got another item here, which is automatic blade formatting on save. Also in PHP Storm. So PHP Storm has really good automatic formatting of PHP files based on standards that already exist, like PSR2, PSR12, Symfony, Laravel, etc. You can set that all up in PHP Storm so that, I think it's Command Option L. You press that and it just boop, kind of formats the file that you're on. However, there have not been a lot of options for consistently formatting blade files in PHP Storm until just recently. So there have been whispers of blade formatting coming to Laravel Pint. But another interesting option until then is using JavaScript's Prettier Code formatting tool, which I think most of us are probably familiar with. We've heard about this, but there is now a Prettier plugin, Blade plugin. So Matt Stauffer has an article on how to set up Prettier on a Laravel app, linting Tailwind class order and more. And that's a really a good primer to formatting Tailwind and Blade using Prettier. The gist of the Prettier configuration file is included in the blog post here, just including the new Blade plugin as one of the plugins you're going to do, and then specifying what files it should be concerned with. So star.blade.php are the ones that it should be concerned with, and you set the options to set the parser to that new Blade plugin. So once you've configured Prettier, you can go into your PHP Storm settings, navigating to languages and frameworks, then JavaScript, then Prettier, and then you update your settings to reflect the following. Paul has it in here as well. Specifically, how you set up, again, that you're running for on blade.php files, you need to run it through this particular checker. If you want to reformat your code manually, you can also then use the... So what he's doing here is saying, on save, I want to run this Prettier configuration file. That's what he's doing here. So that's nice. But the other thing you can do is you can also say, I want to run this manually. And that's the reformat code action. Of course, everybody has their own different shortcuts set up. But depending on what yours is, you can call that reformat code option and it'll snap that too. So that's pretty nice. I really like that, actually. I actually would also love the Tailwind one. I don't have that installed. I don't have that set up. That would be a really handy one to have set up too. So there you go. Thanks so much, Paul Redden, for writing that one up.
Yeah, I think because like Blade is kind of PHP, kind of not, you know, this kind of weird syntax that is between worlds, a lot of us kind of tolerate what that looks like. And something else that 4 million developers tolerate is application monitoring software from Sentry. When your app breaks, fix it faster with Sentry. It includes error monitoring, session replay, performance monitoring, and code coverage, all within a single interface. It will help you to identify, debug, and resolve application errors. It helps you to prioritize what matters and target issues based on the impact of customers. It'll take you right to the root cause, giving you all the context, environment, device, operating system, even the commit that introduced the error down to the broken line of code, and allows you to automate everything by keeping your entire team informed with custom alerts in Slack, two-way sync of issues with Jira, and tracking releases from GitHub, Vercel, or Netlify. We also include performance monitoring for every developer. You can see what's slower quicker. You can reduce performance issues. You've got browser profiling in production. See what your users are seeing. Debugging with visual context, protecting your users' privacy, and seeing user frustration signals in the user experience. Get ahead of production issues using Sentry. You can check them out at sentry.io, and if you use the coupon code LaravelNews, you will get 2 months for free. Thank you, Sentry, for sponsoring the show.
Thank you, Sentry, indeed. Longtime users, both of us, super happy with Sentry. If you are looking for an error tracking service, you should definitely check them out as your first choice. Really appreciate you sponsoring the show. Let's talk about a package here. The Random Package by Stephen Reese Carter, which if you do not know who that is, he is a really security-focused dude in the Laravel world. He's given some really great talks at Laracons and at Laracon Onlines. And so he's very security-focused, and this is kind of in that vein. So what this does, this Random Package, is it generates cryptographically secure random values in a range of different formats through a really simple helper for PHP. So the package was created because Stephen does a lot of audits, security audits, specifically for, it's not only for Laravel, but that's kind of what he specializes in. But he's got some older code bases he's looked at as well. And some of the problems that he finds is insecure randomness, usually in places where security is required, oddly enough, right? So typically people are using like some form of RAND, R-A-N-D, right? Often injected inside like maybe a MD5 hasher to generate a random hash, and then they'll string shuffle or whatever. And sometimes even like a one-time password will just be generated using RAND between 100,000 and 999,999, right? So just give me a random string inside here. And so the problem is that RAND isn't actually cryptographically secure, and neither is most of the ones he's talking about here. So his goal, though, is not just to say, hey, you shouldn't use that, and then walk away. Instead, what he's trying to do here is provide an alternative method for what you could use. So in his package, it is random, dodop, double colon, OTP, so like generating a one-time password. And then all you have to pass in there is what length should this one-time password be? You know, some places use four-digit one-time passwords, other places use six. All you have to pass in is the length of that one-time password you're looking to generate. And then you can send it off to the SMS or email for that user being able to confirm that they do, in fact, own that phone number or email. Another thing that you can do is a random string. And this one has a lot more arguments. You can do a length. You can specify a lower or upper bound. You can specify whether it should have, not a lower upper bound, but lowercase or uppercase, I think, if it should have those in there. Numbers, symbols, etc. And so this will generate a random string for you. It also comes with some nice wrappers for common use cases. Like instead of having to specify all those arguments, you can just say, give me random letters, or give me random token or password or dashed. He's also got another one where if you pass in a collection, I think, or an array, it can shuffle them using a actually cryptographically secure random or shuffle method. So there you go. Very cool. Nice job, Steven. So thank you so much for providing that one.
Nice. Next up, Laravel Stripe Connect allows you, or helps you, to start your own marketplace platform using Stripe Connect, which allows you to make payments to your recipients directly from your Stripe account to theirs. Using the provided package, you can quickly set up your application's users, connect them to your Stripe account, and start making payouts. By attaching the payable trait in the package, you can onboard users and start sending them payments. So this assumes that the user model represents the recipient, but the documentation outlines how to change the model that is used if a different one represents your recipients. For those of you who don't know, Stripe Connect is a platform that kind of allows you to process payments either on behalf of another seller or on a number of sellers, and handles doing split payouts between different sellers. You can do it such that the seller collects the payments and then, you know, you deduct your fees from it as a facilitator of those payments, or the platform itself, you as the platform, would collect the payments and then pay out whatever the difference is. So it's a versatile way to act as like a go-between, you know, end users and your customers, being obviously the platform users that are selling products through you. So if you needed to integrate that into Laravel previously, it might have been a bit tricky. This package will help you do that in a simpler way. We have links to it for you in the show notes.
Very nice. Well, we've got one more package here, I think, and it is, not one more. We've got like three more. Here we go. Basset is an alternative way to load CSS and JavaScript assets. Let's talk about it. It's 2024. I'm calling it server-side rendering has officially made a comeback. And Laravel, or Livewire, now has 46,000 installs per day. And Ruby on Rails with Hotwire, and Phoenix with Livewire, and web development in general with HTMX. Server-side rendering is the way that the world is going right now, right? So maybe it's time to revisit another practice we've adopted from the JavaScript ecosystem, which is to drop the build step. Who's not about that world, right? I love that. There's been a lot of talk about no build setup as in Laravel, right? I mean, this is a big part of what Caleb has talked about with Alpine and with Livewire, just getting rid of it, right? So what about if instead of installing our JavaScript dependencies with a package manager like NPM and then bundling them up, what if we were just able to load them directly from the URL? So this is, I think, what this is trying to accomplish. So Basset is supposed to be a better asset helper for Laravel. So previously to this, you would say link href, and then you say asset, which is going to then grab out, I believe, the versioned, whatever it is, CSS or JavaScript. And instead of that, all you're going to do is you're going to replace that asset helper with Basset, isn't like Basset Hound. And that's going to gain you some superpowers, such as assets from CDNs are downloaded to storage and served from there. Vendor assets become possible to load through this. Non-public assets become possible to load. And it becomes impossible to double load an asset during a request. So in short, Basset removes all the limitations that asset has, allowing you to load any asset from most locations safely. So that means that in addition to loading in just that CSS file that you've got in your public location, you can now do it from a storage path, you can do it from a vendor path, you can do it from your CDN, all of that. Really, really nice. And so I think that's it. That's the pitch. It's not a perfect loading, asset loading solution, at least not for every project. It's only been around for about 12 months, the author says here. So it doesn't have like import maps or things like that. But it's proven its usefulness. So thank you, Christian Tabasatu, for writing this one up. I think he's the author and creator of this as well. So great work. Looks pretty cool.
Very nice. Filterable is a Laravel package by Jerome Thayanamthajothi that enhances Laravel queries with adaptable, customizable filters and intelligent caching to improve both performance and functionality. The package includes the ability to apply filters based on request parameters with ease, improves performance by caching your query's results. It allows you to easily implement filters that depend on the authenticated user, and the ability to extend the class to add your own filter methods. You can define filter classes. At the center of the package is functionality where you can create methods that apply filtering to Eloquent queries. The package includes a make filter artisan command to generate a filter in your app's filters app filters namespace. So we will have some examples for you in the show notes, but it's easy to say, you know, something like post colon colon filter, and then you can say request has, you can query, you can use a fluid interface to chain additional filter responses or filter configuration onto that for you. So I have links to all of that for you in the show notes.
You, my friend, are a consummate professional. You just roll right through it. No problem. You've got this nailed. Down pat. Oh, kids love them. All right, we've got, I think we are on now. Now we are actually on the final package. Okay.
This is still the last one.
No, no, no. The final package, then we have a tutorial.
Yeah, this is the last package.
Yeah, okay. Microsoft Clarity integration for Laravel. So the Clarity Laravel package lets you easily integrate Microsoft Clarity into your Laravel application. So the author here, Paul Redmond, says that he himself was not familiar with Clarity before seeing this package. But what it is it's a GDPR and CCPA, which I think stands for California Consumer Protection Act, which is similar to the GDPR. It's a GDPR and CCPA ready product that you then can embed in your application, and it will capture how people use your site. The main features that it has here really is that it allows you to include heat maps, session recordings, insights, and Google Analytics integration. It's really easy with this package. You only have to set up a few environment variables and include the package's blade component inside of your application's layout file, which is just x-clarity --script. That will enable Clarity based on the Clarity enabled environment variable and the clarity.php configuration file. Now, if setting the environment variable isn't flexible enough, you can also use the enabled property on a component within a variable Boolean that you can define. So you can say it should be enabled on these particular pages, or it shouldn't be enabled on these particular pages. So while you could easily integrate the Clarity embed code in your application directly, this package takes care of all of that for you. You don't have to worry about setting it up. You just install the package and then away you go. So you can start collecting data pretty quickly, within minutes, right? You can learn more about the package, of course, on the source code, which we'll have linked up in the show notes. And you can also learn more about Clarity from the Microsoft Clarity documentation as well. So pretty cool stuff. Thank you so much for writing that one up, Paul. We've got a tutorial, and then we're done. Mr. Dorinda, what do we got on the tutorial side of things?
The one tutorial, we spoke about the new exception facade earlier in the show, and we are not going to leave you hanging. Mr. Paul Redmond, everybody's favorite human, has a tutorial on how to use the new exceptions facade to make assertions against your exceptions in Laravel tests. So your homework at the conclusion of this episode is to go and read that tutorial and put into action this new piece of functionality in your application tests.
And you know what? Some people, so here's, you know, here's what I'll say. There has been some talk. I've heard some people recently be like, you know what? Like, people are just upgrading too quickly. And I get it. But also, this is why we try and keep our stuff up to date, because you never know when that next feature is going to come out where you're like, oh man, that's actually really helpful. And if you're staying up to date, you get all these free tools, these free goodies, as soon as they're released. And it's just
not getting
awesome.
This functionality in Laravel 10.
You're not. Not for you. It's not getting backported. But here in a certain sense, I almost feel like the Laravel team is like on my team. You know what I mean? Like Taylor is paying all these really smart people to build these features. And it's like, I get to use them. And, you know, I don't know. That's for me. That's why we stay up to date.
We don't have to make these features. We just get to use them for free.
I know.
It's
incredible. Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. So that's my pitch. That's my pitch for staying up to date. So there you go, folks. Hey, this has been a good one. I've really enjoyed this. A lot of cool stuff today. Episode 213 in the books. If you'd like to find show notes for this episode, you can find them at podcast.laravel-news.com/213. Rate us up in your podcatcher's choice. 5 stars would be incredible. And if you have any questions or comments, hit us up on Twitter at Michael Dorinda, at Jacob Bennett, or at Laravel News. Hey, folks, until next time, it's been a good one. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye.